D2. And it is time for What's in Outdoors with Phil Taunton, brought to you by Express Tire and Auto and by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply. And join us on the KVOE Sutherland studio line is Mr. Phil Taunton. Phil, how are you today?
Well, I'm hanging in there, Scott. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. How was Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. We had family come down. Of course, I'm down in Senton, Texas right now, and we had some family I never have seen come over from Port Aransas, and had quite a good time. Of course, I ate too much, but that's what Thanksgiving's all about.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, you are down, where did you say you were?
I'm in Senton. It's just a little bit away from Corpus Christi, and as Hank Snow would say, since the show last Friday, I've been everywhere, man. We took off right after the show, and I'll talk about the Palo Duro Canyon that we visited there. And is that sort of in your neck of the woods, isn't it, or are you from San Antonio?
I'm from San Antonio, just north of San Antonio in Shirts. That's where I'm from.
Did you ever go to Palo Duro Canyon?
Nope, that one doesn't ring a bell to me.
Well, it's the second largest canyon in the world, and it has quite a history. But we came down. It's Ginger's birthday's tomorrow, and of course, with Thanksgiving yesterday and the marina being closed, we decided to take a little bit of vacation and come down here, and she treated me to an offshore fishing trip.
There you go.
That was pretty cool. I fished all of Kansas, but I never have been offshore in the ocean, and I tell you, I've had a little bit of reservation with that. But there we met Larry Miller, and Larry runs the guide service out of there, and just what a great time we had. We took the grandkids that are 11 and 14, and it was the first time that they've been fishing, and being out on the ocean, it was just a whole lot of fun. Well, Larry runs the fishing all the time guide service, and I've asked him to be on the show to tell us a little bit about offshore fishing. So good morning, Larry. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Well, I tell you, with this weather, I was expecting a little bit balmier skies.
Yeah, it's not too bad today. A little cool, light winds. Probably be a pretty good day on the water. I'm off the water today, but not too bad.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Larry, and how long have you been guiding?
I've been guiding for 10 years now, started part-time, did it for about 2 years and realized that I needed to be on the water a little bit more than just 3 days a week, and felt that it was my goal to keep my clients on some fish, and these fish move from day to day, and staying on top of them is kind of the game on the deal. So 10 years under my belt and just bringing families and friends out to get together and enjoy the outdoors. Kind of my goal, well, and my passion off of it.
Is it a family tradition? Did your father introduce you to fishing?
My grandfather introduced me to fishing. Of course, we weren't in the salt water at the time. I grew up a little south of San Antonio and later moved down to Rockport and kind of made a homestead there.
Of course, we went out, and I never had no idea what we'd get into. I was thinking sharks and whales and whatever. Really, I haven't been out of Kansas very much, Larry. And, of course, you got us into redfish, and I can't wait to try them when we eat them. But the grandkids really had a good time. And if someone from, say, Kansas wanted to come down here and redfish you, when would be the best time to book a trip?
Red fishing, May, April, into June, and the really good red fishing is late September through November. We had a little bit different year because of the freeze this year, kind of had a good population of trout killed, so our trout bite wasn't all that great this year. Had a little bit of hit on the reds, but not too bad. They kind of been a little scattered and hit and miss. Some days you'll tear them up, and other days, you know, you just kind of scrounge around for them.
What all do you provide to clients when they come out, Larry? I mean, Go ahead.
I'll provide everything that you need. Only thing I ask is you bring your snacks and some drinks. I do have waters on the boat, especially if you're bringing little ones, especially if it's a little slower fishing. They like to have some snacks and, you know, on a little downtime or maybe from moving from one spot to another spot. But I provide all rods, reels, bait, artificials if we're fishing artificial, cleaning and bagging of fish. You know, that way you can take home your catch.
Well, I was really thinking we'd probably be using heavier equipment, but for redfish, and some of those fish are tremendous fighters and they're big, we use really what I would call light to medium equipment. And just, is that your normal equipment for that?
That's my normal equipment for it. I feel that if we can't get him in off of that, then that fish deserved to keep on swimming. That tackle right there, I brought in up to 49-inch redfish on that same tackle y'all were using. I think the biggest one we caught that day was right at 26 inches. But it gives you a little fight. I mean, you're feeling that fish. You're feeling the struggle of that fish trying to get away and swim. And just the feel of the power behind some of these fish. And a redfish has got a lot of power. You know, they'll start spooling drag out and usually know when the hook's set, you know when you got a good one because you set the hook and it feels like you set it on a stump.
There, if you will, tell us a little bit about your boat. I tell you, I looked at that motor and I think the last time I saw a motor that big, I was on a jet going to Pennsylvania.
Oh, I got a 2019 23 Haney Cat. It's powered by a Mercury 400. Horsepower Barato. It's all four stroke. It's a supercharged V6. Top cruising speed's about 65 miles an hour on a light load, heavier load, probably upper 50s, lower 60s if you want to go that fast. Horse don't really run that fast unless I'm tournament fishing when I need to get somewhere. All around great boat. I just actually recently purchased another Haney boat, so I'm on like number four. I got two of them sitting in the yard right now. So it's kind of my boat of choice, great family atmosphere over at Chris's Marine. So one of them things I've kind of been stuck with over the years, I guess about 8 years now, I've been fishing out of a Haney with a Mercury on it. And got to say, got to love them.
Yes, sir. Well, going out offshore, and of course I was thinking deeper water, what was the deepest water we fished the other day, and what do you look for when you're looking for a redfish habitat?
Well, the deepest water we probably fished was, well, I take that back, we didn't fish it, that deeper water over there where we were looking at dolphins and trying to see a show from the dolphins and stuff, that was about 30 foot. That's probably about the deepest we would ever fish, and that's going after them big bull reds. But on a normal red fishing trip, I would say 6 foot would be probably the deepest, and we might be sitting in 2 foot casting in this 6 foot, but our average depth level for that bay is 3 to 5 foot. So what we're looking for is either, depending on the tide, we're looking for a gut that's transitioning off of a flat, or in our case, we were looking for sand pockets mixed with grass. We try to cast into the sand pockets, let it sit, and the redfish will come out of the grass to get the bait.
Larry, just how rewarding is it for you to take kids and families out offshore for their very first time and getting them into this type of fishing?
Now, I can't even express some of the rewards that I've had off of it. Just to see the smiles on the kids' face, I really try to dedicate my time to the kids and a lot of the women and even some of the guys that haven't been out as well. But there's a lot of families that just want to, you know, put their kids on a fish. And whether it be their first fish, their biggest fish, or they just caught a bunch of small ones, the smile on their face when they're taking pictures at the end of the day, I mean, I can go back and look at it and just say, okay, I did my job for the day. My world, I've grown up hunting and fishing all my life. I would say it probably changed my life. And if we can keep them kids outdoors, that's our next generation. Help learn the conservation that we need to do, maybe letting some fish go, taking what you need, and just enjoying the outdoors. It's been a kind of a family tradition as far as outdoors. All my family fishes, hunts. That's probably the most rewarding. I couldn't tell you the most day. I have lots of them. Just to see the smiles on them kids' faces, you know, when they're taking their picture of their catch, and just a very, very rewarding day.
Yes, and listeners, we are talking to Larry Miller, and I think Larry has a home in San Antonio, but he guides down here in Arinas Pass, and excellent experience, and not having fished in the ocean, and I never even, I didn't know if I was in an ocean or offshore or bay or just where I was. I called former Emporian Kim Gentry up. Kim's also known as Spooner, and the last I knew, Kim was living down here at Port Arinas, and I wanted to get a little information from him. And he said, well, Phil, just be careful. He said, last time I was out on a boat, he said, we was out for 48 hours, and I tied myself to the ship because the weather come up. I hung up on Kim. I didn't want to hear about needing to tie myself on a boat getting out there. But I know Larry wouldn't get us out there in that kind of water. So I was just wondering, with that in mind, Larry, what was your most memorable experience out there on the offshore and the ocean?
I have lots of them. I mean, I've been actually offshore and seen water spouts come down and thinking, oh boy, I better get out of here. Pictures and videos. Lots of memorable experiences. I couldn't even just really name one, but the biggest thing is smiles on everybody's faces when they got their catch. Like I said, a small fish to a big fish. Sometimes it doesn't take a big fish to make somebody happy. And it doesn't always take catching a fish to make somebody happy either. We could be looking at dolphins or, just sightseeing boat rides. Not everybody just gets to go out on a boat. I spend about 250 days a year on a boat. Some people spend one day or it's their first time on a boat ever. So just the experience to be outdoors and enjoying the creation that we have.
Yes, sir. I tell you, Larry, I appreciate you being on the show. You have a good weekend, and next time I'm down here, I'm going to be looking you up again, partner.
Good deal. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good one.
And we'll get back, and I'm going to have my granddaughter Carly on the show to tell about her first offshore fishing experience.
All right, very good. This is What's in Outdoors with Phil Taunton, brought to you by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply and by Express Tire and Auto.
This season, or any season, brand new tires make a great gift for someone you know and love. Express Tire and Auto has great gift-giving ideas for all of your car-loving, Polaris-riding, and hard-working friends and family members. From tires to ATV accessories like oil change kits to gift certificates and more. Stop in and visit John or Jenny to explore more gift-giving options this holiday season. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30, Saturdays until noon.
You've waited long enough, but hunting season is finally here. Bluestem Farm and Ranch has everything you need for a successful season, from calls and scents to blinds, decoys, and clothing. Stay warm and dry in the best camo and orange, and don't forget the dry layers and boots. Shop the wide selection of everything you need to get outdoors and enjoy a great hunt. Get ready for the field with just one stop to Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
What's in Outdoors continues on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM, of course, with Phil Taunton here on this Friday morning. All right, Phil, you were going to get your granddaughter on with you?
Yes, I'll tell you, down here with newborn, well, I can't say newborn, with River, 2 years old, and Cooper, that's 11, and Carly, 14, we haven't had very many dull moments. Been on the go and visiting some places, but getting Carly up that early in the morning was quite a deal. You know, typical teenager. And so, Carly, what did you think about getting up so early and going fishing and being out on the boat with Captain Larry the other morning?
Well, getting up that early definitely wasn't my favorite thing in the world. By no means ever at all, no. But I did really enjoy myself on the boat. It was really fun being able to catch the fish, and the fish were so big. It was so crazy. I was, like, shocked that fish could be that big.
Well, what did you think? Remember watching the poles, and it started moving a little bit, and Cooper said, we got a bite, and Captain Larry said, no, that's just the bait moving around down there, and we were using mullet. But what did you think when that pole really bent and Captain Larry grabbed it and gave it? Well, Cooper brought the first fish in. And then not long, we went him out on the water, I would say maybe 15 minutes, Scott, when we were into the fish. So what did you think when Captain Larry saw the pole go down and set the hook and then handed you the fishing pole?
It was all crazy. It all happened so fast, and I was, like, reeling it in, but it was so heavy. So it was just like the rod was like tipping so much where it was almost touching the boat. And I was just like, what the heck? And then when I pulled up the fish, I was like, whoa, that's a big fish.
Well, there was redfish. Now, they do catch black drum and then also a type of trout out there. And talking with Captain Larry, he told me a different recipes on it. And so what we're going to have is redfish on the half shell. And of course, fishing is not all the time catching, and sometimes we had some lull of moments, and Larry was telling us about some dolphins that they had saw, and we had seen a dolphin there, and so, you know, with kids, sometimes the fishing isn't as important as just going out and having a quality outdoor time. So, Carly, we picked up, and then we went quite a ways out there and tried another spot because he had caught some bigger fish out there. And then we went to where there was a port or a channel, and the big, you know, the big cargo ships was coming in there and everything, and then we start seeing the dolphins. Tell us about your reaction to the dolphins and what was going on there.
There were, like, so many dolphins when we had first got there, and then they kind of just stopped showing up when, like, towards the end. But it was really cool. Like, the dolphins would get really close, and I was in shock because dolphins is, like, my favorite animal. I love dolphins so much, so I was really excited to see them. It made me so happy. Yeah.
How about the gulls and the pelicans?
The pelicans followed me, and I didn't like it because I had the bait, and I was throwing the bait to the pelicans, and they'd swoop in and catch the bait, and it was really cool to see that, and I really liked it.
What do we have to tell Cooper when he starts throwing the live ones in there? You know,
we had to tell them to stop because they were swimming down and getting away, and we couldn't, like, feed the other animals. And I was like, well, now they're just swimming away.
Well, it was quite an experience, Scott. Have you ever been offshore fishing or deep sea fishing?
I have. I've done some tuna fishing out of Rockport, which is in that area down there.
Yes, sir.
I don't know that I've ever done redfish, but I've done tuna, and we would go down to Rockport or to Corpus and, you know, get on a jetty or on a bridge or something and just fish off of those. You talk about the pelicans following you. They will, if you have your bait, whatever you're carrying your bait in, and it's open, they will be all over you. They want to fish with you. So there, it's a little bit crazy. It's a lot of fun, though. I tell people, I kind of started to move away from fishing as I got older. It wasn't something I did as much as I did when I was a kid with my family. But I tell people for sure, if you have a chance to get out on a boat in the salt water and do something like that, then it's a lot of fun. And my wife a few years ago got to go do some tuna fishing down outside of New Orleans. Plus, they did some what they call inlet fishing, where they're not all the way out into the water because you have to go pretty far when you're fishing for tuna. But and she actually had more fun with the kind of the inlet fishing than they did with the tuna fishing. She got a little seasick, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun. It's kind of a completely different. you know, situation than standing on a bank and casting. I did a lot of trout fishing with my family when I was a kid. The fishing out on the ocean, a completely different deal.
Well, the ocean life is just completely different than what this landlocked Kansas boy's been used to.
That, I can imagine. Sounds like you had fun, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I had fun every time I've come down here. But one time we went down towards South Padre Island, and I kept seeing these signs, beware undertow, beware of an undertow. And, of course, we got out in the water. Next thing I know, something got hold of me, and I got out of that water and stayed out of there. And it's just the way the currents of the ocean just act. And I guess some people don't make it out once they get hit up.
Yeah, when it's pretty strong, you have to be careful because it does. You made a comment about feeling like something grabbed a hold of you. That is how it feels. So it can be very, very strong. So
all I was thinking about Neptune. I wanted something to eat, so I got out. I got out of the water and relive that experience in my mind a little bit more. But the animals, the things we see, and then, of course, we went to a dude ranch the other day and took the kids down there, and we had Carly and Cooper in the back of like a gator, and had camels come up to the gator, and they was petting them, and we kept trying to tell Carly she couldn't jump on the back one. And I don't know if you've ever stood up next to a camel. That is one big animal.
Yeah, they're tall.
There is.
They are tall. My mom lives out in Floresville, and she lives in a neighborhood that's kind of outside Floresville. And there's a family that actually has two camels that they keep on their property out there. And so whenever we drive by there, we will always stop and take a look. But yeah, they are tall animals for sure.
Okay, Scott, let's go to that last break, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Kansas and going through the Gypsum Hills, and then in Amarillo, and talk about Palo Duro Canyon.
All right, sounds good. You are tuned into What's in Outdoors on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM. We're brought to you by Express Tire and Auto and Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
That city slicker was dead serious when he asked me, hey, how long does it take to grow birds after you plant bird seed? Well, whether you want to try to grow birds or attract them, head to Blue Stem. Blue Stem Farm and Ranch has bird seed, or a bird feed, and bird feeders, bird houses and bird baths too, even binoculars for a closer look. If it's for the birds, Blue Stem's got it, with a variety of well-known brands of each at great prices. We'll see you bird lovers at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch, Highway 50 in Emporia.
This season, or any season, Brand New Tires make a great gift for someone you know and love. Express Tire and Auto has great gift-giving ideas for all of your car-loving, Polaris-riding, and hard-working friends and family members. From tires to ATV accessories like oil change kits to gift certificates and more. Stop in and visit John or Jenny to explore more gift-giving options this holiday season. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30, Saturdays until noon.
Final segment of What's in Outdoors here on this Friday morning. I'm Scott Hayes on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM, and we're joined on the KVOE Sutherland studio line by Phil Taunton, who is on the road down in Texas. Phil, sounds like you had a lot of fun out on the ocean doing some offshore fishing there. Well, you said you wanted to talk about some things back home here in Kansas, though.
Right, I tell you, when we left the lake, I wanted to set out. I never have been down through Barber County, and, of course, on the railroad, I saw a lot of Kansas and traveling through it. And Kansas is a beautiful state. It bothers me that people thinking it's so flat. You know, if you've been that young, and sure, if you've been in Texas, you grew up here, there's some awful flat land here in Texas. There is an awful lot of agriculture down here in Texas and you know, tillable land that I never knew existed. But in Kansas, I always wanted to go see the Gypsum Hills. And planning a trip and traveling, I don't like to get on the major highways so much. It's just too fast. It's fast, and I like to see the country. So we thought we'd go down through the Gypsum Hills, and it's also known as the Red Hills. And there's a historic... I was a scenic byway between Medicine Lodge and Coldwater. And it's called the Red Hills because of the iron in the soil, and they're actually red. But you saw a lot of plateaus and then outcroppings and different types of formation. We never got off the road to go visit them and just see what all it held, because we was trying to make Amarillo by, what is the song? Is
by Amarillo morning?
By sunrise.
Amarillo, yeah, by morning.
Yes, sir. I was trying to make it by sundown. But we did finally get there, and it was tough to find a room. Thanksgiving travelers are out, I guarantee you. We finally found us a room, and then we spent Saturday exploring Palo Duro Canyon. And it is the second largest canyon in the world. Some parts of it, the average is, I think, about 6 feet wide. I mean, 6 miles wide, and the widest part is 20 miles. But it stretches for 120 miles on down through Texas, and it's quite different than, you know, seeing some hills and not never seeing a canyon quite to this size. But the Indian history was really why I wanted to go down through there, and of course, the number of buffalo was there, and there was an epic battle to where the cavalrymen, they couldn't defeat the Indians there, so they did round up all their horses, and when they took their horses away from them, they had to go back, I think it was the Fort Sill. So the history and everything was real cool, and learning about that, and of course you have places you can stay. Number of people were out there bicycling and camping, and I think they was going to spend their Thanksgiving there. But it was really funny going through there. There was a zip line. Ginger said, "Well, Phil, you want to go zip lining?" I said, "Nope."
Nope.
And then there's horseback riding, and I tell you, the Lord give me 2 feet, and He wants me to keep them feet on the ground. And so, zip lining for me was out. And it was sort of funny that when we got up onto the canyon and looking down, Ginger did not want to come to the end of the cliff because she told me she was scared of heights. And I said, "You're scared of heights? Yet you want to go zip lining?" Whenever you can understand a woman, Scotty, you need to let me know about that a little bit more.
Sure, sure. I will put that on the list of things to call you about whenever that day may or may not come. Probably
well,
may
I
not.
I would appreciate it.
Probably may not come, yeah.
But so. It was just a real good experience. And then from there, we spent a night in Kerrville, Texas, and that's called the Hill Country of Texas.
That's right.
Visited a friend there, and just a great experience, and had a good experience yesterday with Thanksgiving dinner. We tried what you call spatchcock turkey. Have you ever had one of those?
No.
Well, what you do is you cut the spine out of the turkey, and I've done it before with quail to flatten them out, but by flattening them out, they just cook a lot faster, and I tell you, you can get some crispy skin off of it without making the meat dry. And so you just simply cut the spine out of the turkey, turn it over, and push on the breast, and that'll flatten it out. And it was real good, I guarantee you. But, of course, we had a great Thanksgiving dinner, and I think Thanksgiving dinner is one of my favorite meals, I guarantee you.
Yeah, me too, me too, yeah.
We got a few activities coming up in Kansas I want to tell the listeners about. The November 27th will be the Ethan Carroll Memorial Coyote Hunt, and you can go to Ethan's Facebook page and find out more about that, but they have quite a bit of time and a good get-together with that, and of course the funds raised by that goes to support the Morris County 4-H Shooting Sports. And got a big hunting season coming up December 1 there in Kansas, Scotty, the regular firearms for deer season. And it'll be December 1 through Sunday, December 12th. And there's just so much going on out there with the deer. They are in rut. And they are crazy. So you motorists be on the lookout for them.
Oh, yeah.
But hunters, you wear that. You want to wear that orange, hunter's orange. And it is the law that you need to have so much hunter's orange on you out there. I will be back to Emporia on December 4th and be taking part in the Kansas Children's Service League Red Stock Breakfast there at Bryce.
So, all right.
I'll do it for this week's show, Scotty, and looking forward to seeing you.
Sounds good. Well, you be safe out on the road. Enjoy the rest of your time in Texas and wherever else you may be traipsing around to, and be safe coming back, okay?
Well, we're going to a shooting range today. Well, you know, you come to Texas, you got to get out and go shooting, I guarantee you.
There you go. There you go. They will okay. They will take care of you there for sure. All right, thanks, Phil.
Yeah, take care, sir.
All right. Phil Taunton on the road and joining us on the KVOE Sutherland studio line this morning. Sutherland's, they deliver anything they sell. Contact the store for details. That'll do it for What's In Outdoors here on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM, live and local. We've been brought to you by Express Tire and Auto and by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply. 8:52 here on this Friday morning. We will get to sports headlines with Greg Ray before the hour's out. Local headlines in just a moment, but first, the latest national and world headlines from ABC News.
At the open on Wall Street, the Dow sliding down as expected. That's how global financial markets have handled the news of a new COVID-19 variant. It's caused some countries to implement travel restrictions. The European Union says it's considering the same. ABC's Lama Hassan has more from London.
Global cases of this new variant are on the rise. Infections now identified in Hong Kong and Israel. Scientists sounding the alarm on this variant, which they say is the most heavily mutated variant discovered so far. They worry it could evade vaccines and could be more transmissible.
But the World Health Organization meeting today to discuss this variant, first detected in South Africa, said more testing is needed. Black Friday shoppers heading to stores, but many preparing for fewer deals. Some items out of stock due to supply chain problems. Inflation also bumping up some costs. More utility customers in Southern California have gotten their lights back on, but still shut off for more than 40,000. It was cut to reduce the risk of wildfires, with strong winds threatening to down power lines. Brian Clark, ABC.
The Greater Emporia community gave from their hearts on Match Day, and donations are being tallied for the 25 participating organizations. Match Day checks will be awarded live on KVOE at 11:05 on November 30th. Or join the Emporia Community Foundation at the Flint Hills Mall as totals are revealed.